Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Hasocher amas hamayim erev yomtiv. So what happens is there's a stream, there's mayim going through, and he stops the water from coming. So he has a pond, and no more water is coming in. He cuts. Ulamachar, the next day he wakes up, Hishkim, wakes up early in the morning. Umatzaba dagim, he sees that there are fish in the water, in the pond. Mutarm, he's allowed to eat the fish, because he knows it was prepared before, and it didn't come from outside. He cut it off, erev yomtiv, it was kfar muchan, and mezuman, and therefore he's allowed to eat the fish. It's not muksa. Then Amar of Chista, says, Midivir Rabbeinu, we learn from the words of Rav, his Rebbe, Nilmod Chaya Shekanana Bipardes, so that if a chay, wild animal, made its home, kinna, like made it like a nest, cane, right, a nest, he makes it, usually find that by a bird, by an animal also, he made a nest in the Bipardes, in the guy's orchard, in the guy's field, you don't need Zimun either. So just like when the Erev Yom Tov, you cut off the water from the pond, so any fish there couldn't come from outside, so too, if a chaya makes his home in your pardes, you don't have to do any zimun. Yeah. So Gemara is going to ask a big kasha in a second. They're very different cases. One case I did a maisa, I cut off the water. The other case I did absolutely nothing. The chaya just came into my backyard, I didn't do a maisa. When you want to separate something, let's say a rock, I want a rock to use in Yom Tov, I have to do a maisa. I got to take the rock and move it, or I got to chip some of the rock. But I didn't do any maisa. The chay could just come make a home in my backyard, and I could be kona that, and I could be mezamein that from muksa. So Gemara is going to ask that in a moment. So I'm a Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Nafal chavram biribrasa. Our friend fell among Ravrasa, great rabbanim. Meaning our friend, Rashi explains that Rav Chista, where is that Rashi? You see, Medivre Rabbeinu, that Rashi?
Right,
so do the one above that. Midivre Rabbeinu.
So
Rashi explained that Rav... Rav is Shloshan, the three of them, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, and Rav Nachman, were all Dekarle, the Rav Chista, Chavrin. They called Rav Chista friends because Tamidim Sharav Havu. So again, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Rav Nachman were all Tamidim and Rav. So they said that Rav Chista, who made this point, Rav Chista said, the Chaya, who is Konei Bepardes, our friend Rav Chista, he's falling, he's putting himself in between a big machlokas Rabbanim, Rav Rasa. So that's, we'll see in a second what the question is. And Ikadami, there's another version of how the story went, that Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, what, you skipped a line? I'm good. Ikadami, you see me?
Yeah.
Ikadami, others say, Amar Rabba, back to the Gemara now, Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, so a different person saying this, instead of before we had Rav Chista saying it, now it's Rabba, the son of Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna is one of the three Talmidim. So he said, Midivei Rabbeinu, from the words of Rabbeinu Rav, Nulmad Chaya Shekanana Bipardes, Einot Tzricha Zimun. He was the one who said that. And to that, they responded, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Nafal Bar Chavrin Biravasa. The son of our friend, Rav Huna, is putting himself in a big machlokas of great Rabbanim. What's the machlokas? What exactly are they saying that's against the machlokas? You can't say this because Hasam Lokavad Maisa. Over there by the case of the Chaya, who came and set up shop in my backyard and made a home, I didn't do any action. That shouldn't be Zimun. But Hacha Kavad Maisa, Lo Bai Zimun, Lo Hacha Kavad Maisa. When it came to the water, and the fish, I cut off the water. I did a maisa. That's why it was a mezuman, the fish. But the chai just comes to my backyard. I didn't do any maisa. That's not going to work. The two cases are not comparable. Okay, so ask the Gemara, lo bai zimun? Do you not require zimun? Let's see for a second.
Here he said, no, you do not need zimun. In Italian, we learn, chaya shekarinav bo, des tzricha li zimun. It's a machloket.
So what we're saying right now, so Rav Nachman says that you require zimun. So now the Gemara says, "V'lo bai zimun." Do you not require zimun? Who would ever say? I guess how could the previous opinion think you don't need zimun? How could you think that a chai that sets up shop could simply be enough to be mezuman if you didn't do a maisa. It's clear you do need a zimun from the following. V'hatani, the Braisa teaches us, Chaya shekanana bepardes, he sets up a little home in your backyard, in your orchard. Tzricha lezamein, you have to be mezamein that animal. The tzipor dror, which we said was a bird that is comfortable living in a house. Right, exactly. So you have to tie down its wings so you don't confuse it with the mother, because the mother and the child look very similar. They're both the same size animals. So you have to make sure you know which one. If you're mezamein this bird, you're not going to remember if it was this bird or that bird because they look the same. You have to make a little tie, a little string on the bird so you know it's the right one. V'zu edus sheheidu mipi Shmaya v'Avtalion. And this is a testimony we heard from the great, great Tanaim of Shmaya v'Avtalion that you have to do this. So clearly you do need zimun for a chaya that sets up a home in your pardes. So therefore it's tiyufta to the earlier opinion that said you don't need a zimun. This says you do require zimun.
What's tiyufta?
Tiyufta is an unanswerable question. It's a question from when a Mora says something, you ask a question from a Tana, a greater authority, it's a tiyufta. Unless a Mora has another Tana who supports him, he's not allowed to argue with Tana. So uh-huh. If you find that, we call it tiyufta.
So in such a situation, it's tiyufta.
Exactly, and you can't answer. Unless you find the Tana that supports, but usually tiyufta means there's no answer. We don't have another Tana, and the Amora was clearly wrong, going against the Tana.
Even though the Talpisachri might be right.
Right. Okay. It seems to be right, but there must be another logic we're not understanding.
Yeah.
So mi boy zimun, do you really require a zimun for such an animal? V'hatani, we have another Braisa which seems to say otherwise. Says the Braisa, Amar Rishlot Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Modin Beis Hillel Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, they both agree, Al Shehizminon B'socha Kan, so let's say you saw birds and you set aside the birds that were in the basket. And the next day, Matal Lefnei Kan, and then the next day you find the birds outside the basket, Shasun. Everybody agrees they're Asur, because you don't know, those may have been different birds than you set aside in the first place. Only if the birds remain in the same place could you assume it's the same birds. But if they move from inside to outside, they may be completely different birds now. So they're Asr. Bamed v'mamurim, when is that true? That if they switch spots, it's Asr. V'yone shovach, when it comes to certain types of doves. V'yone aliyah, and other types of birds, I guess, go in the attic. What did they say? It's here. I have an article today. Yeah, the doves of the attic of an aliyah. V'tziparim shekinu b'tpichim b'birah. Or birds that nested in tichon is a jar, or in walls of a mansion. That's what it's saying. A beer, like a big mansion, a big building. Mm-hmm. So these types of birds, are the ones that if they move around, they're going to be usser. Why? Let's see. Okay, these are all small birds. Aval avazim, matanagolim, geese and chicken, and right, they're bigger. And yoni hardiasiels and other types of Herodian doves are calling them. Right, v'chaya shekanu bepardes, and a animal that sets up a home in your backyard. Mutarn, these are birds are mutter. V'ein tzichen zimun, they do not require zimun. And further. The tzipor dror, this bird that kind of flies around in the house, you also have to tie its wings together so you don't confuse it with the mother bird. Right, birds are tied and handled before Yom Tov. All these different places, all these cases are mutter. Exactly, siman. So you know it's already, you know, this is the animal you point out, you picked. There's a siman, it's miyuchad, mezuman.
Yes.
Ubilanos, but if there are those found on the trees, there are surin, for technical reasons, shema yalav yitlosh, you might climb on the tree to get it and break a branch along the way. Vamukusharim. And let's say you find a tied bird somewhere else, it's also because gezel, because somebody probably, it's like a collar. You see a dog with a collar, you can't take it, it's probably someone owns it. If it's a collarless dog, you can. Same thing with birds. So there's a whole different, a long brace of different details of different birds. What comes out of here, though, is we see that a chayesh kanana bepardes, does not require zimun, and before we said it does require zimun.
So what we said, it's a tiyufta.
So before we said, sorry, said tiyufta that you certainly do require zimun. Now we're saying a brisa. Wait a second, the brisa says you don't require zimun. So how do we deal with the two different brises? So
no, but it started that you do not need the zimun. Einatzach hazimun. That's how it started.
The whole Gemara started, the Amora, let's call Rav Chista, says you don't require zimun.
Now the Tanya said that tzricha lezimun.
Right. And that was tiyufta to Rav Chista. Now I bring another brisa that says, no, you don't require. So you could say, it's a machlokas tanoim. And if this supports the opinion of Rav Chista. That's the Gemara could say, it's machlokas tanoim. The Gemara doesn't say that way, though. Gemara gives a different answer. Gemara rather not say, we'd rather not say machlokas tanoim. We'd rather say, if we don't have names, we'd rather say everybody agrees, and there's different cases. So what are the different cases? So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman explains as follows. It's not a machlokas tanoim.
Lokasha.
Haba, habima. One's talking about the child, and one's talking about the mother itself. What's the difference here? Why? So it says. So you know which one's. So since this small one can't fly, you don't need to be miserable, and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
The mother could fly around, so you have to make a nod, a makusha on it, to know this is the right one.
I didn't think about it.
Huh?
The small didn't. He didn't think about it.
Ain't pre a no film in mina eitz rachok.
Very far.
No, no. So that's the much more.
As we said, tell us chazimun.
Right.
Let's chazimun.
So the Gemara says, "Ima bezimun sagila tzei debal yasabai." So I don't. So we're saying the mother doesn't require zimun. But you have to be able to. You're gonna be. You have to catch it. If the mother bird is allowed to fly around, you have to still catch it, which is also
awesome. The answer?
Yeah, I think so. That was the answer. What he said, right? No, it wasn't.
I have no idea. I'm asking.
Oh, yeah.
This is the answer because the small one cannot run away.
Yeah. Look at. You see. Look at Rashi.
Rashi.
The bottom. The short lines. Ba.
But now you're saying that the ima doesn't need zimun.
No, this is another problem now. A different problem is, in terms of, there's a mlach of tzad, of catching on Shabbos. You can't catch animals on Shabbos or Yom Tif. So, okay, so I have no tie on the mother. The mother bird could go around. I need to tie the mother bird, fine. But it's still, I have to catch it on Shabbos or Yom Tif, that's a problem of tzad. I have to put it in a cage. So it sounds like it's enough to have simple zimun tying it? No, I need more than zimun. I need to actually catch it and put it into a cage.
Ooh. Yeah.
So says the Gemara. No, we're both talking about the child where it's small, can't run away. So when do you require zimun and when don't you? So if it's a gina close to the city, so then Yad Barashi says v'daitale. You know about it. You're in the city, and I have a little garden next to the city. So I see what's going on in the gina. I see the bird. I'm like, okay, fine. My das is on that. It's not muksa. If it's a gina that's far away, I don't really think about it. I need to go over there and tie it. Otherwise, it's going to be out of my mind. That's the difference.
Okay.
But it's both talking about the child. The mother bird requires it to be placed in a cage, otherwise it flies away and you can't catch it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay.
So how did it end with the chaya that come from the field without the zimun? So you need the zimun, you do not need.
So lemaisa, that in terms of the chaya, you do. Let's see.
Okay.
That's machlokes. It depends which case it is.
It just solves the
machlokes.
Right. The big one requires a chair prepping. The small one, samach l'ir, lo tzarach zimun. Rachok Meir, Tzarech Zimun.
Zimun, Mashiach.
It's סליחה, אני לא גאון כמוך.
So there's interesting machlokes Rashi Tosos here. So the Gemara is talking about a case. So let's say we're right before the Mishnah on the Chaf Hayman Aleph. So it said if you found anywhere b'chol makom you see a bird that's tied, you can't take it mishum gezel. So Rashi explains. Look at Rashi hamukusharim v'menunaim. This is the a few lines up from the short lines, the bottom of the short lines.
A few lines
up from the bottom. Hamukusharim v'menunaim.
Okay.
So a little further down. Go to the next one down. The hanimtzam b'chol makom. That one. It says Rashi.
Yes.
Hanimtzam b'chol makom.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, the one before that, one you were just reading. Hanimtzam b'chol makom, af b'chol asur. If I find, yeah. How you read before? Hamukusharim, hamunayim. That bold.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hanimtzam b'chol makom. Af b'chol asur. If I find on a weekday, I find today on Thursday, I find a bird that's tied, has a collar on it, I can't take it. Limotzam, I can't find it and say, oh, that's mine. It's awesome, mishum gezel. Sharishan, the first person, came by probably. Shekashan, he tied them, onanana, picked them and moved them up. Kanam, he was kona them, how? Bagbaasam, shehefker, nikne bagbaag.
How can the first one know that it belonged to somebody? Because Nino, there's no an obvious sign on it.
If there's no sign. So then it's the guy's, the original owner, if there was, is Miyayish. If I lose a bird that looks like any other bird, there's no way I'm going to find it. So anybody who finds it, it's finders keepers, he gets it.
Okay.
So the first guy picked it up and tied something on it. How was the first guy konet? By picking it up through Hagbah. Hagbah is one of the biggest, the strongest kinanim. That's a Rashi, through Hagbah. When something's hefker, Hagbah is konet. Look at Tosos now. Hamukusharim asurim b'chol makom mipnei gezel. Says Tosos, Perish Rashi Sharishon Kana Osam Bhagba. You picked it up, you're koning it through Hagba. Velo Nira, Tosos doesn't like that, that's not clear to me. Velo Shayach Kan Hagba, Ela Kidami, Hagba is not relevant. He doesn't explain why it's not relevant here. Seemingly, he thinks that Hagba only works when there's another person being maknet to you. But from Hefker, Hagba doesn't work. Ela Kidaminan Dehabata Kona Behefker. It's a Gemara in Bamatsia. By looking at the bird, you're koning it. If you're somewhat involved, you're touching the bird, and you look at it, habat alone is kona mehefker, not hagba. Right. Okay, fine. Let's do the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, behema musukenes lo yishchot. So let's say on yontif, I have an animal, you'll have to do shchit on yontif, because shchit is tzarech ochel nefesh, that's permitted on yontif. Now I have a cow in my backyard, which is getting very sick and old, and I don't want it to die, because if it dies, it's menevela, I can't eat a dead animal. I'd rather shecht it, and I can eat the kosher meat. So the problem is, lo yishchot ela im ken yeshahos bayom l'echel mimena kezai sli. I'm only allowed to shecht the animal, the cow, if there's enough time, I could take some of the meat, and cook it, and eat it. If there's 30 seconds before Yontif is over, I cannot shecht it, because there's not enough time for me to cook it. And if the animal dies, it's too bad. I have no choice. So you can only do it if there's a possibility of getting ochel nefesh from it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu kizai schami based tfichasa. It's enough even if you don't even cook it. If you eat the meat raw from the base tfichasa, which Gemara is going to explain what that means, so Rashi says, Shumazuman Mufshat Me'ora Ve'omer. You shech the animal, you skin the animal, and then you eat it raw, that's enough. You don't have to actually cook it. That's all the time. So it's less of time you need, for according to Rabbi Kiva. Let's say you shech the basada, you shech the animal in the field, lo yivena b'mot, you can't bring it on a, like on poles, over, lo yivena b'mot uvimoto, aval mevi biyado evam evam, but you can bring them limb by limb. Because the problem is, Rashi says, if you bring them through all these poles, like the Meraglim brought like all the fruits on the poles and hanging, if you bring a big cow that way, Rashi explains in the Mishnah, B'shnei B'nei Adam, with two people carrying it, Mishum de'av shemilsi mizalz b'yamtiv. Av shemilta means to spread it. You're making a whole like event there, a whole public event. It's mizalz l'shabbos, a person shechting a huge cow, bringing a whole cow to the marketplace. It's not so appropriate. But if you take the steak, you take the ribeye, you take the ribs, and you take all different parts and little pieces here and there, that doesn't create such a such fanfare, and that would be permitted. Okay, so some halacha is about shechita on yamtiv. So says the Gemara now, Amar Rami bar Abba, Hefshet v'nituach be'ola, v'hu adin l'ksavim. So explains Rami bar Chama that you skin, and nituach is you cut up, you dismember the ola, and also the same holds true in regards to the katsavim, are the butchers. They cut everything, they skin it and then cut it up. That's what he tells us. Nothing to do with yantif at all. In general, when you do the ola, you skin it and then you cut it up. So too, when you shech the meat, you're supposed to shech the animal, skin the cow, and then cut up in different pieces. Mikan, from here we learn, lambda, Torah, derech eretz. The Torah teaches us derech eretz, because the Torah tells us, by an ola, you're supposed to skin it and then cut it. So we learn from the Torah that derech eretz, we should also skin the animal and then cut it up. So again, lambda, Torah, derech eretz, lo yochal adam basar, kodum hefshet nisuch.
Take off the skin?
Take off the skin, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
When today they're taking off the skin?
Yeah, you never see. You never got like a piece of meat with the skin on it. The skin's used for making for cloth. You could use it for clothing.
When you buy meat, it's usually the inside part or the outside part.
What do you mean, inside or the outside? You never see. There's never skin. You never see the skin.
Yeah, the question is inside limbs or outside limbs?
Oh, all parts get sold.
No skin to begin with.
Right. Exactly, skin's on the outside.
The outside.
Right. Okay. So my question, what are you learning from here? So Rashi explains, what's the question here? Look at Rashi for a second. My Kamash Malam. This is six lines from the bottom. My Kamash Malam. Derech Eretz, O Isser. Is this teaching us Derech Eretz, just proper manners, good table manners? Or is it teaching us that's Usser, to eat it before you skin it and cut it? Meaning, Rashi says, "Oh, aser lulemeimar de aser lechem imanu. You can't eat from the meat. Ad she nascheha, shemi yimta ba simen treifa b'seiser. Because you might find a treifa. If I eat it before I skin it, you have to check the animal to see if there's a puncture in the lung or this is a problem. So I have to skin it and cut it up to see to check for the treifas. So that's the question: is this derech eretz, just proper etiquette, or is it really an iser to eat it before you check for all the treifas? That's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ilema lafuke." Mid Rav Huna, if you're saying that this is telling us we don't hold like Rav Huna, what does Rav Huna tell us? Dama Rav Huna, Behema b'chayeha, when animal's alive, it's b'chezkas iser. It's us to eat a live animal. B'chezkas iser amadis, ad shiyodelecha b'ma nishchata, until you know what was shechted with. So if I have an animal that's alive here, and then I find it dead, I need to know how it was shechted, what was shechted with, because it was usr a few seconds ago. Now I got to know what made it mutter. The chazaka always, you keep the status quo. Last I knew it was usher, I have to know what made it kosher. Let's say nishchata, let's say I see it was shechted properly, then it becomes cheskas heter omedes. It's a good shechita. It's as a chazaka being mutter. It's mutter ad shiodelecha b'ma nitshiva. It's mutter until I find out what made it trefa. So the status quo is it mutter after it's been shechted. So, if we're saying that we hold against Rav Huna says you don't have to check for trefas. It's mutter once you shecht it, unless you happen to find the trefa. Is this statement above telling us, no, you can't eat it until you cut it up. You can't eat it until you look and check all the trefas. Are we saying that's against Rav Huna? Or it says, no, it can't be that way. We hold like Rav Huna because the following Mishnah tells us we pass like Rav Huna, that you're allowed to eat the meat before you actually check for trefas. V'ha'an on Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Masnisin k'der Rav Huna. The Mishnah supports the opinion of Rav Huna, the Tanan. Rabbi Kiva Omer, afilu kazayis chai mi beis tfichasa. That you'll have to eat, our mission above says you could eat a raw piece of meat, mi beis tfichasa, what is mi beis tfichasa, from shechting it right away, without having to skin it, without having to cut it. Right when I shechted it, I could eat it. I didn't skin it, I didn't cut it, I didn't check for trefas. So clearly the mission tells us, according to Rabbi Kiva, that you can eat it before you check. So once you see you're allowed to eat it before you check, the statement above about cutting it up can't be the purposes of checking for trefa. It must be derech eretz. It's just proper to just wait, be a little patient before you skin it, until you skin it, until you cut it. So Gemara says, my love, what does Rabbi Kiva not mean? Mi beis tfichas mamish? You mamish eat the meat straight from after shechting, and right away when it's raw before skinning and cutting off? Or it says, no, lo, not true. Mimakom shetuvachas achilasa. Meaning, Rashi explains, the last Rashi, shetuvachas achilasa mibnei meyeha shemachal mischaseich umisachal sham. It doesn't mean you eat it before you skin it, before you cut it. It means it's talking about a particular area. So Rashi explains here that it's where the stomach, where all the food breaks down, it's easy to eat. It doesn't require so much cooking, I guess. It's very soft. What? Right. So therefore, that part you could eat. You don't have to cook it as much, or you don't have to cook it at all. You could eat it raw. But yeah, Ein Hachanami, Rabbi Kiva says, you skin it, and then you cut it, and you check for trefas, and then that part of the animal you eat instead of having to have a tougher part of the meat, which you require cooking. That's what what comes out of here. Now, in terms of just a side point here, there's a Machlokas Rashi Tosfos here. When he said before, do you have time for this actually? You know, we don't have so much time. All right, forget Machlokas Rashi Tosfos. So, says the Gemara, but Vahatani Rabbi Chiyev Makum Tvichasa Mamish, but doesn't Rabbi Chiyev learn in the Braisa that, no, when Rabbi Kiva said Makum Tvichasa, he meant Mamish Makum Tvichasa. Didn't mean the Bnei Mayayim, didn't mean the stomach, he meant right after shechting it, you could eat the raw meat. So Ella Rami Baruch Abba, the statement above about skinning and then cutting it, is Orech Ara, which is Aramaic for Derech Eretz. He's coming to teach me Derech Eretz Kamashmalam, to teach me that there's certain etiquette when it comes to eating food. Kedetana, the Braisa tells us, Lo Yochal Adam Shum Batzeil Marosha. A person shouldn't take a raw onion and a garlic and just eat it on the top. Ella Ma'olav, you take off a leaf and you eat the leaf, you take out parts, you don't take the whole thing and put it in your mouth. If you do take the whole onion and take a bite out of it, that's called a ravasan. It's called name you want to be called. The person is very starving and very hungry. You don't want that. Eat slowly, eat calmly. Kiyotzi, both similarly we have, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Urchaim. Lo yishta adam kosa bevasachas. The person shouldn't take a whole cup and just down it in one shot. Vim shas, if he does drink a whole cup in one shot, hareza gargaran. He's called a gargaran. He's a thirsty person, but it's not a good title you want.
It's the famous book, Seven Sins. These are the two of the seven big sins.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Seven? Who writes Seven Sins?
No, it's not...
יש פה טעות פעמיים אותו דף.
לא, זה ככה. זה מסביר כל זה, זה מייחס לזה.
כן. רגע.
זה אותו דבר, כי זה מתחיל עד לפה, זה מפרש עד לפה.
אוקיי.
עוד אחד, אותו דף. עוד אחד, שני.
So then the Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, Hashusa Kosa Babasacha, somebody who drinks in one shot, or the whole cup, I raise a gargaron. Shneim, Derech Eretz, a person drinks in two, then that's considered, that's normal. And Shlosha Megasirucha, a guy's sipping and taking some.
No?
What?
We
mentioned this in the past, yeah. Maybe Psachim may come up. Yeah, come to Psachim also, yeah. So, Amar Rami Bar Abba Chatsufa Makte Raglein the Rishai. So, it's talking about a particular type of vegetation. Let's see, maybe on the side of the article has it. A Chatsufa cuts the legs of the wicked. Okay, so Rashi explained it's a type of grass that goes deep down into the ground and doesn't spread out so much, and it's used as borders. It stays pretty straight. Use it as borders. So,
what's the case? What is chatsuva v'kater ha'gneron?
Sorry, say it again?
What's
chatsuva
v'kater ha'gneron?
What's
that connect to?
So he's saying as follows. Okay, Chatsuva makes borders. It's how you border your land, your property line. The Rishayim don't keep properties. They over their boundaries. And therefore, they're compared, I'm not sure how it means, cuts the legs of the wicked, but the Rishayim get punished for not following the Chatsuva, not following the borders. They step over their boundaries. Now, Natiya is Mikata Raglan de Katavia. The young trees, small little trees, cuts the legs of butchers. Of butchers, which Rashi explained, of who eat the meat before skinning it and cutting it to pieces. So that's what the comparison to young trees are. Does Rashi explain this? So Rashi says, Natiya, when you plant a fruit tree, you have to wait 3 years. Arla, you can't eat it until fourth year. So you have to have patience. So, so too, a butcher who eats it before skinning it, before cutting it, doesn't have patience. That's a comparison to the natiya and the butcher. I'm not sure what it means exactly to be cutting down, but it seems like every person has a corresponding type of tree that they should emulate, and they're not emulating this type of tree for growth. Then it says, debol nidas, also that's part of it. Also, this type of tree, a man who's bol nidas, who doesn't wait for his wife to go to the mikvah, that too, it's because of lack of patience, so that's also, he's not emulating this type of tree of waiting 3 years before eating from the tree. Now, turmasa, mikate raglayan, disonin shel Yisrael. This type of tree, it's a min kitni, it's a type of bean, is not emulated by the enemies of Israel, Rishayim also. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, by Yosifu b'nei Yisrael asos harab b'nei Hashem. And b'nei Yisrael, Gemara, Pasuk and Shoftim says, they continue to do bad in the eyes of Hashem. V'yavdu es ha'abalim, they serve the Avodah Zarah called Baal. Ves ha'ashtarios, ves elohe aram, ves elohe tzidon, ves elohe moav, ves elohe b'nei Amon, ves elohe plishim. They served all the various Avodah Zarahs. V'yazvu es Hashem, they turned away from Hashem. V'lovdu, and they didn't serve him. The Pasuk says, the Gemara says, "Mimash b'shenemar v'yazvu es Hashem ein yodeh shelo avdu." Once we know they left Hashem, we know they didn't serve Hashem. It seems superfluous. Sumatam lomar v'lo avdu. Amar Blazar, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, afilu keturmas hazeh sheshulkin. They're not even like the turmas. What's this been? Shesh Gemara and Shabbos, I think, also said the Gemara and Brachos. Sheshulkin also, they would cook this bean sheva pamin, 7 times v'ochlin also. It takes 7 times for it to be edible. It's such a hard piece of bean. It needs 7 times to be cooked in water for it finally to be edible. And b'kinuach suda, so lo asani b'nim. So this bean, they're willing to cook it 7 times and finally eat it at the end. For me, they're willing to worship 7 of the Zara and don't come back to me at the end of the day. The bean is much better off than I am. If you're going to worship before the Zara, at least show me a little bit of attention. Show me a little bit, like you show the attention to the bean. So therefore, that's how, that's what they compare these Rishom, the ones who over the Avodah Zarah, to that of the bean. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Meir. It's a brice in the name of Rabbi Meir, which teaches Mipnei Mad Nisna Torah Yisrael. Why was it Klai Yisrael? Why were we Zocha in receiving the Torah? Mipnei Sheha Hein Azen. Because we were Az, we were very strong, we were stubborn, we're a stubborn nation, and we're able to withstand the Torah. The Rashi explained why. So Rashi explains, Shehein Azen, the Nosna Lahem Torah, Shiyaskuba Vihi Misashis Kocham Lichnas Libam. Learning Torah is not an easy task. It's not for the faint-hearted. You have to really put your amelis in, your strength, and your koach to learn. So you have to be a strong, stubborn nation to be able to withstand learning the Torah. Actually, there's a fascinating Gemara in Bava Metzia, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rabbi Yochanan once saw Reish Lakish. He was the head of all the thieves and the bandits. He was the head of the robbers. He was swimming in the water. Rabbi Yochanan says, come, do some tshuva, come back to learn Torah. And he said, if you come back to do tshuva, I'm going to have you marry my sister, more beautiful than any woman you ever saw. So Rabbi Yochanan was known to be very beautiful, and his sister apparently was also. So Reish Lakish agreed to, and he was very, very strong. He started learning and learning, and he lost all his weakness. He tried doing things and jumping and doing things he tried doing. He wasn't able to do it anymore. So there, I'm not sure the Gemara says, or Rashi says, because learning Torah, based on Gemara and Nadar Mocha says, learning Torah makes you weaker, physically weaker. So that's what Gemara means here. That
Reish Lakish has for that.
What?
Reish Lakish can ask for that. Can. Thank you, Master Parta. Can. We can not talk to. But we are.
So says the Gemara now, Tana de Baby Rishmal, Mimino Eish Das Lamo. The Pasuk we say. Right. So what does it mean, Mimino Eish Das Lamo? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bru'uyin Halalu, Shetinasin Hem Das Eish. So, this nation was fit that they should receive the Das Eish, the laws, the rules of fire. So what does it mean, the rules of fire? Ikdamri daseim shel elu eish, that the rules themselves are like fire. Rashi is really the nature of these people is like fire. That's what it says here on the side. The people themselves are like fire, which is consistent with what we said above that, like the very az. Shel malei lo nasa Torah l'Israel ein kol uma v'loshen yichol l'amo b'fneim. For the Torah not being given, no nation could stand withstand them. I guess since the Torah made them so strong, Am Yisrael, the Torah made them weaker, and now they're able to, every nation could face and stand up against them. Had they not been received, had they not received the Torah and never would have become weaker, no nation could have stood up against them. Okay. So the first, I think the first opinion was saying that referring to Eish Das, the Torah itself was Eish, and this Ikadamri is saying that the people themselves are considered Eish. Mahayu Damar Eish Lakish, this is what Reish Lakish would say, Gimel Azin, there are three groups that were considered Az, very strong-willed. Hein, Yisrael, Bumos, Klaisa, we're the strongest willed among the nations. Kele, Bechayos, among the wild animals, the dog is the Az. And don't we say, have you Az Kenamer, though? You just say, right?
Yes, Kenamer, yeah.
Right, it's interesting, I'm not sure. Does that mean to say...
That's probably domesticated.
No, Namer is a wild animal. Isn't Namer a leopard or something like that?
Kelev Bechayot.
Okay.
Well, why is this star next to her? What is the star?
It takes you to the side, the Mesoros HaShas, and the inside, the left column. It tells you this is also, look in the Gutosis and Bechoros. Oh. Talks about this. Okay, I'm not sure. We say, oh, it's Kunamer. I'm not sure why. That's Tzarchin. And then, Tarnagol Ba'ofos, among the birds, the Tarnagol is considered the strong-willed bird. V'yesh omrim af az b'behema daka. I guess the A's were saying, the goat, that's what we're saying here. Right, the goat among the small animals. V'yesh omrim af tzlaf b'ilanos, when it comes to trees, it's slaf, which is a, how do they call it in English?
Caber bush,
right. That's among the the trees, that's the Oz of all them. Rashi, interestingly, writes, Leodati my Oz is Shalah. I don't know the Oz of a Tzlaf tree. Rashi, I don't know. Leodaya. And Tosis writes, what do you mean? I know what it is. Rashi, Tosis says, it has three types of fruits that grow from it. It grows every single day. The Gemara's Baba Basra tells, Bechol Yom Vayom. It's very persistent, very strong. It perseveres and constant. So that's why the Tzlaf tree, the caber bush, is considered Oz Shabilanos. Okay, back to the Gemara now. So let's say a person shechs the big cow in his yard, in his field. He shouldn't carry it with two people on a stick because it makes a whole big public event, and that's mizalz l'yamtif. Tanur Rabban, the Braisa says, Ein hasuma yotze b'makilo. A blind person can't walk out with a stick, referring to Shabbos and yamtif. V'lo haroa b'tarmilo, and a shepherd can't use his tarmilo. What exactly is the definition of tarmilo? It's nice having the
article.
It's a backpack. Tarmilo is a tarmilo.
A little pouch, okay. Okay. V'in yotzim b'kisei echad, and can't walk out with a seat. Echad b'ish, echad isha. Can't walk out with a little, I guess, a wheelchair of some sort. So, the Gemara says, Eini, is that really true? V'ashalach b'yakob b'idi. Yaakov once sent the following. Zokin echad haya b'shchein usenu. There's a old man in our neighborhood, v'haya yotzim b'glotke shalo. And he'd go out with his glotki. What's a glotki? A type of chair, right? So... Ubo v'shalos b'Yishu ben Levi. They went out to ask Yishu ben Levi, is he allowed to do this on Shabbos and Yom Tov? V'amar, he said, im rabim tzichin lo, mutter. If the public needs him, if people need him, mutter. V'samchu rabbeseinu adivrei achi yishashakya. And they relied upon these words of Achashakya, who said, I'm not sure who that is, ona damar ona afikse l'rav Huna mihini l'shili. I carried Rav Huna from this place hini to place shili, u'mishili l'hini. And further, Amar of Nachmor Yitzchak, Ana Afkisei Lemar Shmuel, I carried Shmuel from Mishimsha Latula Mitula Shimsha, where it's from the heat to the shade, from the shade to the heat. So we see all these places, I carry them. And the Gemara says, Hasam there too, Kedamar Taima, because Taima Im Hayu Rabin Tzichon Lomoter, you're allowed to carry it on the seat when the when there's a need for it. When you need the person, the Rav, the Zakin is needed, you are allowed to carry him out on the chair, on the wheelchair, if he's needed by the Rabin. Amle Rav Nachman Lechama Barada Shalich Tzion. So the messenger of Tzion, Kisal Kilahasim, when you go up to there, refers to Eretz Yisrael. Okif Vizil, go around, circle, and go up. Asulma de Tzur, go up the steps of Tzur. Vizil Agar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, go visit Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Ubay Minei, ask from him, Kisei Ma, Ma Otten Bey. What do you say about carrying a chair on Shabbos Yom Tov? So Ad Alzul Hasan, when finally he got over there, Noch nashe de Yaakov bar Ibi. He died. He wasn't able to make it over to him. He died before he got there. Kisalik, when he left, Ashkech l'Rav Zrika. When he left, when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he met Rav Zrika. Amalei kisei ma'asim bei. So he asked Rav Zrika and said what the halacha was regarding this kisei. Amalei hachi amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami used to say, u'bilvad shel yichasef. So as long as you don't put it on your shoulder. You don't carry it on the shoulders. I guess you have to carry it with your arms, but not on your shoulders. As opposed to like putting it on my shoulder and your shoulder, I guess they'd have to carry it with their arms, would be my guess. That's how I would imagine. Right, so they explain, Amar of Yosef Rei Derava Baalunke, referring to the seat resting on the shoulders. So you're not allowed to place it on the shoulders, rather...
people put their hands out on one another and then someone rests between them on their arms.
That's permitted. As opposed to walking closer together and sitting on the shoulders.
I think, is that what we said? That's what we're saying is aser. We're saying it's derechol to be walking around in that way.
This way would be aser, you're saying?
Yeah.
So Rashi said, see, right? Okay, so that's aser, carrying it. I guess you have to just hold on, each side holds on to the chair, that would be permitted. As opposed to locking arms, that would be usher. Okay. Ani, is that really true? Is this really usher to do this, locking arms and having them sit on your shoulders? V'homer of Nachman, shari le lilsa le meipak. The Yilsa was the name of the wife of Rav Nachman, and they permitted her to go out al alonki. They permitted this way of carrying. Shani Yilsa de Biisa. So she was scared to fall.
Alunke, it's a stretcher.
So that's what it is in modern day Hebrew.
Yeah,
so so now they're saying they didn't have a stretcher, but using arms. Rashi explains they locked arms together like a stretcher. That would be usher.
I walked. How much is 40 kilometers in miles?
40 kilometer.
The
40 mile.
No, less.
78 miles.
I walked 26 miles on the beach with 120 pounds on the stretcher with one shoulder without
changing. Say again, you walked half 40 kilometers?
40 kilometers.
On the beach?
On the beach, you know, which is very difficult. The stretcher is like 120, 160 pounds, and you're not allowed to switch the shoulder.
And you're dragging it, or someone else is holding it with you?
Four guys.
This is in the army.
After that, you're walking like this for 3 weeks. You cannot.
Wow.
That's what we did. This is nothing. We walked 126 kilometers from Kiryat Gat to Pisgat Zev.
Masalunka. Kodem ze Masalunka. Kodem ze Vivit Masalunka.
You cannot imagine. No. You cannot even imagine.
This is why we learn in the yeshiva. We don't go.
זה למה לומדים בישיבה דתיים חכמים
עכשיו רוצים ללמד אותם אבל זה לא הולך
and finally the Gemara says Amemar Marzutra Mekasri Lehu B'Shabasa Deragla Mishim B'Yususa so Amemar Marzutra when they would go out to be carried to the big Shabbos HaGadol Drasha and Shabbos Zechol Mori to give a Drasha and Yantif for Shabbos they would go out on someone's shoulders because they were scared to fall they would be permitted if there was a scare Others say no, because Duch the Tzipura, which Rashi explains, right, if they were standing, Rashi explains, they stared at the Tzipur stand, because they're older, it took a long time for them to get to the front. So you carry them quickly up front, everyone could sit down sooner and hear the drush. We'll stop here, exactly.
Thank you.
Thank you.